What Paul is saying is this: the gospel I preach is a non-discriminatory gospel. It is freely given. It's good for Greeks. It's good for non-Greeks. It's good for Jews. It's good for Gentiles. It's good for the high class. It's good for the hick. It's good for those who study Socrates. It's good if you can't even spell the word Socrates. It's good for the down and outer. It's good for the up and outer. Because if you're down and out or you're up and out, you're out still. And you need to get in. So the gospel is good. It is freely given to everyone who believes.
Because every human is a sinner, it means every human needs the Savior, Jesus Christ. Today on Connect with Skip Hyten, Skip shares how you can have the same passion and excitement about sharing your faith as the Apostle Paul had. But before we begin, we want to let you know about a resource that gives you some great insight on the book of Genesis and shows why it's the foundation for understanding the rest of Scripture.
Ever walk into a movie late? You may never catch up on the plot. Well, same's true of the Bible. Miss the opening book, and you'll have questions all the way through.
Genesis is the foundation. It's the ground floor. If we don't understand the book of Genesis, we won't understand what follows the book of Genesis.
That's Skip Hyten, reminding that our redemption through Jesus' death and resurrection starts in the book of Genesis.
God says to Satan, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. It's a promise of the Redeemer. It's the seed plot of the rest of the Bible.
Rediscover the foundation of your faith. In Skip Heitzig's book, you can understand the book of Genesis. Our gift to you when you give $35 or more today to help keep this ministry on the air. Request your copy when you give online securely at connectwithskip.com/offer. Or you can call 800-922-1888. That's 800-922-1888.
Now, we're in Romans chapter 1 as Skip Hyten gets into today's message.
A few years ago, I got a phone call from a man in Idaho who said he had been one of the apostles of the Mormon Church, but that he left the Mormon Church recently because he had been listening to our radio broadcast every day, driving. And one day he decided, I'm going to pull over. And he pulled over and he thought, I need to just personally encounter God. And he asked Jesus, the real Jesus, to come into his heart, the life-changing Son of God, to come into his life. And he was born again. That's the power of the gospel. Not only is it power itself, the gospel message, but God promises power to those who speak it. Jesus said to his apostles, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. So not only do you have this powerful message, but once you step forward and go, I'm going to speak it, God promises that he'll meet you there and give you the power to powerfully execute that message. That is so powerful itself. So Paul says, I'm not ashamed of this. It is good news and it is God's power. Here's a third reason why Paul is not ashamed. And that is because it's given freely. That gospel is freely given. Please notice in verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation for, what's the next word? You can talk here. It's for everyone. He didn't say it's for the chosen people. That's me. It is available for everyone. It is freely given for everyone. For everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek or the Gentile. Now, I have to explain that because you're going to read that phrase throughout the book of Romans. Jew first and also the Greek or Gentile. Whenever you read that, know that Paul is speaking chronologically, not exclusively, chronologically. It came to the Jew first. The gospel was promised through Jewish prophets in Jewish scriptures to a Jewish nation with a Jewish context about a Jewish Messiah, but it's for the whole world. Paul is writing the same thing Jesus said to the woman at the well of Samaria when they were talking, having that little exchange, and The woman was arguing about, we believe this, you Jews believe that. Jesus said, listen, you don't even know what you worship. We know what we worship. And then he said this, for salvation is of the Jews. Salvation is of the Jews. He didn't mean it's only of the Jews, solely of the Jews, exclusively of the Jews. He just meant it came to the Jews first. Chronologically, it came to the Jews first. The first believers were Jewish. The apostles were Jewish. The first church was Jewish. It came to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Now, the Jews divided the whole world up into two groups. Can you guess what those groups are? Group one, the Jews. Group two, the non-Jews, the Gentiles. Everybody else. There's the Jew and there's everybody else. And if you're everybody else, you wish you could be a Jew, but you can't. In fact, the strict Jews believe God made all those other people just to make hell hotter. That was their phrase. It's to kindle the fires of hell. God created Gentiles just to make the fires of hell stoked up and hotter. Congratulations, God made you to make hell hot. So they divided the world by Jew and non-Jew. The Greeks also divided the world up into two groups. Can you guess what those groups were? Greeks and non-Greeks, or their word, barbarians. You're either a Greek or you're a barbarian. The interesting word, the barbarian is a Greek term that is an onomatopoetic word. That is, the word sounds like what it means. The Greeks loved their language and culture so much that to their ears, any other language to them just sounded like bar, 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 bar. So hence the name barbarian. You're not cultured. You're not cool. You're not Greek. So with that in mind, look at verse 14. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. What Paul is saying is this. The gospel I preach is a non-discriminatory gospel. It is freely given. It's good for Greeks. It's good for non-Greeks. It's good for Jews. It's good for Gentiles. It's good for the high class. It's good for the hick. It's good for those who study Socrates. It's good if you can't even spell the word Socrates. It's good for the down and outer. It's good for the up and outer. Because if you're down and out or you're up and out, you're out still. And you need to get in. So the gospel is good. It is freely given to everyone who believes. But don't you think it sounds strange in verse 14 when Paul says, I'm a debtor to both the Greeks and barbarians, to the wise and the... What could he mean by that? I'm a debtor? Well, there's a couple of different ways you can get into debt. Number one, you can borrow money from somebody. When you do that, you're in debt to them. Number two, you can be given money for someone. So, for example, if I borrow $1,000 from you, I'm in debt to you until I pay you back. But let's say a friend of yours gives me $1,000 to give to you. I'm in debt to you until I deliver that money they gave to me to give to you. When Paul says I'm a debtor, he doesn't mean I borrowed a bunch of money from Rome and I better pay it back. He means Jesus gave me a treasure and I'm in debt to those people till I deliver it to them. It's pretty heavy, isn't it? What that must mean then is that if the gospel stops with us, it's a crime. It's a liability. We haven't paid the debt. On one hand, we're set free by Jesus. But the moment we're set free from sin and death by Jesus, we're also encumbered with a debt to deliver the message to other people who are bound on how they can be free. I'm a debtor both to Jews or to Greeks and to barbarians, wise and unwise. So, Paul says, I'm not ashamed. This is good news. It's God's power and it's given freely. Fourth reason Paul says I'm not ashamed is because the gospel gets people right with God. It gets people right with God. Verse 17, for in it, that is in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, this is the theme of the book, if you remember from our first study. The theme of Romans is the righteousness of God. Or, better yet, the theme of Romans is how to get right with God. How to get right with God. How to make people right with God. Why be ashamed of making wrong people right with God? I'm not ashamed of that. I'll speak up and tell that. Now, what this implies, and you'll see it in the next few weeks, it implies that we're not right with God naturally. I know you hear people say, well, I'm cool, I'm good. God and I, we're okay. No, you're not. If you haven't, if you've just been born and you've lived without anything, you're not right with God. You're not okay with God. And if you think you are, you just want to keep reading Romans. Because he's talking about the gospel here, but the very next verse, verse 18, notice what it says. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. Uh-oh. What up? What up is Paul is saying, naturally, we're not okay with God. We're so bad off. And he concludes in Romans 3 with this thought. For there is none righteous, no, not one. Not one. Not one person is okay with God. But then he comes full circle. And he brings this up again, the righteousness of God. I want you to just see it. I'm kind of reading ahead, but I want you to see it. Take just a second. Turn over to Romans 3, just a page or two, not hard. Romans chapter 3, verse 21. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. In other words, God can make anyone right with himself by conferring on them the status of righteousness. It's not something you produce, it's something you receive. You can't be right with God on your own. There's none righteous, no, not one. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. But God says, I got a deal for you. I will give you a righteousness. You can't produce it. You can't manufacture it. But I'll give it to you. So you just have to receive it. I want you to imagine it this way. Imagine a little box, and that's our world. We all live in this little box, and life inside the box is defined by two things, time and space. So those are our limitations. It's always a certain hour. We're always in a certain place. We cannot get out of time and space. We're in this box. We're confined in it. But we have a gnawing feeling while we're in it that there may be or must be something greater than ourselves outside that box. Trouble is, we can't get out to see. So, somebody comes along and says, I'll invent something. I'll invent a story about what's outside the box. And throughout time, people have invented all sorts of stories. You could call them religions. They go by different names. Happy Hunting Grounds, the Great Spirit, the Elysian Fields, crossing the River Styx, like the Romans thought. Buddha, Allah, a number of different systems that people invent about who and what is outside the box. It's our way of escaping the time and space continuum. However, if I'm ever going to know what's outside that box, I'm never going to discover it on my own. Whatever or whoever is outside that box has to come into that time-space box and show himself. That's the gospel. That's what God did. That's why Jesus was God incarnate. First of all, he wrote us a letter telling us he was coming. That's the Old Testament. I'm coming. I'm coming through the line of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Judah. So he constantly promised it. Then Jesus came and he said, now you can look at God in human flesh. I didn't just write you a letter. I showed up in flesh. I am God in human flesh. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. I and the Father are one. So Jesus came into our box, knows what it's like to be a human, and while he was here, paid a sacrifice on a cross so one day we could leave this box and be forever in his presence. Paul said, I'm not ashamed to tell people how to get out of this box and get into his presence. I'm not ashamed of that. I have a friend who is in Scotland, and he listens to my messages. He has for years. He listens to my messages at least 6 to 20 times each. He told me on the phone yesterday, because he asked me to call him. He didn't want to call me. He said, it's too expensive for me. Would you call me? So I called him. And he's a bricklayer. He's this rough and tumble guy, big builder guy, who had a rough background, got all of his teeth kicked out in a bar fight before he was saved. So he wore dentures from like his late 20s onward. Came to Christ, still evangelizes to this day. And he said, Skip, I listened to, I forget whatever, a couple of different series. He goes, I've listened to him 22 times each. I'm thinking, John, I'm thinking, you need to get out more. You know, there's a whole lot more of life than that. But he'll quote things back to me that I've said. I said, John, let me ask you a question, because you're always sharing the gospel. You've been for 36 years. Why are you not ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Because I was preparing for this message. And he says, I'll tell you why I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He said, I'm not ashamed of Christ because Christ wasn't ashamed to go to the cross for me. I said, that's good. I'm going to write that down. So Paul said, I'm not ashamed. It's good news. It's God's power. It's given freely, and it gets people right. Now, here's the fifth and final one as we close. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's so simple. It's greatly simplified. Verse 17, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed. I love this word. From faith to faith. The idea, I think, is from faith to faith to faith to faith. Your faith, my faith, faith passed down throughout history. Just from faith to faith, as it is written, the just, he's quoting the prophet Habakkuk in the Old Testament, the just shall live by faith. So, it's so simple. What do you need to be saved, to get this power of God? You need faith. Verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God to salvation for everyone who, you can talk here, believes. Aren't you glad he didn't say it's for those who behave a certain way? Because that'd leave a lot of us out. No. God is not asking people to behave to be saved. He's asking people to believe to be saved. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved, says the book of Romans. Now, belief will change behavior. You're not saved by behavior, you're saved by belief. But if it's real belief, it'll change your behavior. You'll see works because of your faith. But here's the deal. It's not the faithfulness of Christians that save them. It's their faith in Christ that saves them. Eternal life is a gift. It's not an earning. It's free. It's not a fee. It's received. It's not produced. It's not manufactured. But not everybody will agree with that. This is just too simple for some folks. And that's why religion is such big business. As religions say, you got to keep the Ten Commandments. You got to be baptized and go through confirmation and Holy Communion and last rites and a number of other things in order to get to heaven. You see, people will accept that they're sinners, but they will not accept that they can't solve the problem themselves. Too easy to believe. Certainly, I've got to do something. That's human pride. And when you say, really, you can't do anything because you could never do enough. And if you did all the good works in the world, you would make it up the rung one ladder, one rung to heaven. So you just say, too late. It's been done for me. I'm going to believe. As we close, you need to understand that verse 17 is the verse that changed the life of a guy named Martin Luther. It is what sparked the great Protestant Reformation. Martin Luther, at age 21, became an Augustinian monk in Erfurt, Germany. He was 21 years old. He became a monk, not to get close to God, but so he wouldn't go to hell. That's what he said. He was just so burdened by guilt and sin that he became a monk. And he started going to confession. So much confession. He would spend hours confessing to priests. Literally, hours. I mean, he would think of a thought. And I just had another thought that's a bad thought. He would say every little trivial thing. And it drove the priest nuts. Till one priest finally said, go out and commit a sin worth confessing and then I'll see you back here. After that time and during that struggle, Martin Luther went to the city of Rome to see the great Vatican. And while he was there, he went to a famous landmark church. It is still there today and you can see it. It's called St. John Lateran. In the Church of St. John Lateran, there's a series of steps, a staircase called the Sancta Scala, the Sacred Stairs, believed to be the very stairway that Jesus ascended when he stood before Pontius Pilate in Jerusalem. How it got to Rome is a mystery. So these sacred steps, people would, and still do, crawl up on their knees in agony, sometimes their knees bleeding as they crawl up these steps, one step on another, and they pray and they crawl. And he had gone there and was going up these steps. It was believed that every step you crawl up, more years is shaved off purgatory in your eternal sentencing. So he's crawling up these stairs, one step at a time. And as he's crawling up, this phrase keeps coming to his mind, the just shall live by faith. Another step. The just shall live by faith. Oh, another step. The just shall live by faith. He stood up, turned around, walked down the stairs, walked out the church, went back to Germany, and thought, I'm going to study the book of Romans. He started studying Romans and he came to chapter 1, verse 17. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. You need to know what he said. He said, and I quote, I greatly long to understand Paul's epistle to the Romans, and nothing stood in the way but that one expression, the righteousness of God. Because I took it to mean the righteousness whereby God is righteous and deals righteously in punishing the unrighteous. Night and day I pondered until I grasped the truth that the righteousness of God is that righteousness whereby through grace and sheer mercy he justifies us by faith. Thereupon I felt myself to be reborn and to have gone through open doors into paradise. That day, Martin Luther was born again and knew that not the just live by fear, but the just shall live by faith. And he rested in not the confession he could make, not crawling upstairs and hurting himself, but just by simply trusting Jesus' work was enough. The just shall live by faith.
That wraps up Skip Heitzig's special message from his series Heart and Soul. Now, here's Skip to share how you can help keep this broadcast going strong, connecting more people like you to the good news of Jesus.
For all the wisdom that the Bible does contain, it's worthless if you don't apply it to your life. Our desire is that every single listener like you wouldn't just hear God's word, but be transformed by it. And you can help make that possible by giving today to keep this program going strong. Here's how you can do that now.
Give us a call at 800-922-1888 to give a gift today. 800-922-1888 or visit connectwithskip.com/donate. Your generosity will keep his biblical encouragement coming your way and help change lives. Before we close, we invite you to check out the Connect with Skip mobile app. You'll have access to a treasure trove of Skip's messages right at your fingertips. Find more information at connectwithskip.com/app. Be sure to tune in again next week as Skip Heitzig shares why it's important for every believer to understand and comprehend God's full nature, including his grace and wrath.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on his wood. Make a connection. Connection.
Connect with Skip Heitzig is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.